Is it possible that there are more job openings in America now than there are unemployed people? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. In a few minutes, the latest report on job openings in America comes out. Acronym JOLTS, given Friday's across-the-board positive jobs report for May. Do we even need this JOLTS covering April? Economist David Kelly is chief global strategist for JP Morgan Funds.
Oh, yeah, I think we do, because it shows both the upside and the downside of a tight labor market. I mean, the good news is the number of people unemployed in America is now just about 6 million people even. But the bad news, in a way, for a lot of companies is there are now 6.4 million job openings. So there are actually now more job openings than there are people who are unemployed. And that does suggest that a lot of companies are really having a hard time finding people to employ.
It's so striking. I mean, clearly the narrative that the economy is plodding up a gentle hill is gone. I mean, the economy is quite strong.
Yes, it is. And the latest numbers we've got a lot of other numbers last week, and you put them all together, it looks like economic growth in the second quarter could be above 4%. So this is a very old expansion. It's almost in its 10th year. But we've got a bit of an acceleration here. It's kind of like watching a 70-year-old suddenly start to sprint. So at the moment, it looks pretty good. But I do worry about things slowing down later.
70 is the new 30, by the way. David Kelly at JP Morgan Funds, thank you very much.
Anytime.
Overnight, the British government sold off another chunk of the Royal Bank of Scotland, which British taxpayers largely acquired during the bailout at the height of the financial crisis 10 years ago. They sold at a loss, and the Brits still own about 62% of RBS, once the second biggest bank over there. Only you can prevent forest fires, but money helps. With a Senate hearing on the way today to talk about the impending fire season, Marketplace's Andy Euler looks at how this needed some fixing in the federal budget.
The federal budget will include more money for fighting wildfires, but also provide a separate pot of cash to help make forests less susceptible to burning in the first place. Jude Bayham teaches agriculture and resource economics at Colorado State University.
On paper, it is going to get better. But at the same time, we still have these factors that are driving suppression costs, a buildup of fuels, and this growing wildland-urban interface interacting with climate change.
That wildland-urban interface he's referring to just means people building houses closer to forests. As a result, the cost of fighting fires has risen because more of those fires are burning in places where people live. Greg Peters is with the National Forest Foundation.
What we need to do is make sure that our forests are resilient to fire. And if we don't come to terms with that, we're going to be setting ourselves up for some frustrating living conditions.
The cost of fighting wildfires last year exceeded $2 billion, making it the most expensive year on record. The extra money for fighting fires won't even kick in until 2020. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
We recently heard from Fran in New York, New York, who wanted to let us know that she appreciates Marketplace's in-depth reporting and that we help her better understand the economic and political issues of the day. To join Fran in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible. We continue our occasional series on data showing many cash-strapped college students don't have enough to eat. Today to Texas, where some colleges have a new scholarship for food. Laura Eisensee with Houston Public Media has the story.
Graduate student Tori Alexis is unpacking boxes of food to distribute at a food pantry on his campus.
It looks like lettuce and garden salad. Looks like a whole mixture of fruits.
Alexis is working on his master's degree in nutrition here at Texas Woman's University, which is co-ed. He also takes home groceries from the pantry for himself. It's part of the college's food scholarship.
And I must say, it has helped me a lot. Because a lot of my money, like I'm out-of-state student, so a lot of my fees go to out-of-state tuition. And so it's kind of like, money is very tight.
Out-of-state graduate tuition and fees here cost about $17,000 a year. Deborah Unruh is Assistant Director of Student Life. When she offered popcorn or sandwiches at campus events, she noticed students ate the free snacks as if they were their meal for the day. Unruh polled some 140 students and found one in four of them struggled to get enough to eat.
They were cutting back on the size of meals. They were skipping meals altogether. They weren't eating as much food as they thought they should. And that money was running out at the end of the month. And so they just couldn't buy food.
Since January, Texas Women's University gives groceries twice a month to students who need them, so long as they stay in school.
The reason that we call it the Food Scholarship as well is because we're looking to tie this to outcomes.
Harry Hadland is with the Houston Food Bank, which donates the groceries here and at five other colleges in the region. They'll expand the program later this year.
It's not just, hey, here's some food, go be well with your life. It's, here's some food, let this help you maintain your way through whatever program you're pursuing.
And graduate student Tori Alexis hopes his research on the food scholarships at his campus proves his peers get more meals and healthy ones. In Houston, I'm Laura Eisensee for Marketplace.
And it seemed like about 10 minutes after I threw out my collection of vinyl records in this world of streaming music, the 12-inch analog record was embraced by hipsters and came back, which is why I won't throw out my old film cameras. Well, there's news today that by popular demand, Kodak is about to bring back Ektachrome 100, a nice slide film for analog cameras. It's been gone for 5 years. Ektachrome, the bluish one, not Kodachrome, the reddish one, alas. I was curious what old tech you are still clinging to. The cranky lawyer tweeted us a picture of his shelves still stacked with, remember these? Books? Jeffrey Cochran sent a picture of a Mount Rushmore-sized pile of film cameras, lenses, and flashes he still owns. And Tal tweeted us he's still got pencils, wooden pencils. Early humanoids would write things with these. Marketplace.org has all the responses. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Daniel Shin. I'm David Brancaccio, and this is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.